couple of people want to share your thoughts. What comes to your mind when you think of the Gospel of John?
Jesus talking a lot.
Jesus talking a lot? Okay.
I think of this as the gospel written by the disciple that Jesus loved, his best friend, and the emotion and love and the firsthand experience that he had with Jesus.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So many places in the New Testament, Jesus claims to be God. People don't recognize it, but in the first part of John, it's made clear that he's being proclaimed as God in the flesh.
Does everybody know what the term synoptic gospels mean? No. It makes me sound really smart, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What are the synoptic gospels?
Mark, Luke, John.
Or are they synoptic?
Yeah.
Anybody?
What's a synoptic?
Mark was probably the first gospel written. We know Luke probably used it in Matthew. Okay, and they are all
historical account.
John is not an historical account. It's a completely different gospel. What's the one? There is one verse that really sums up the entire Gospel of John. Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
You write this. You should write this down.
Okay.
John chapter 20, verse 31.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's lower.
It was written so that you would believe in him. Is it, in essence, what it says? Okay. Now, it's my thoughts about the Gospel of John initially is that it was always told to recommend that a new believer read it. I understand when I study it why someone would say that, but I would never recommend a new believer reading the Gospel of John. It is too symbolic, it is too deep, it doesn't make sense. Historical accounts, I think, are much easier to follow for someone that doesn't speak Christian. Does that make sense? What is the word? That is going to be a completely foreign concept to a new believer. Okay? John is known in history as the apostle of what?
That Jesus loved him.
Yeah, of love. Okay? This Gospel of John makes reference to love 80 times in his writings. John is also concerned about the truth. He mentions the truth 25 times in his gospel and 20 times in his epistles. So the themes of love and the themes of truth. So 45 times he talks about truth, 80 times he talks about love. But 100 times in this gospel, can anyone take a guess what word he uses the most? Hint, look Christ. At John chapter 20, verse 31. Take a guess. Believe. He wants you to believe. And his message is simply this, that the eternal God himself has become human. The Creator has become a part of his creation. He's fully God, but he's also fully man. In order that he might save sinners from their sin, death, judgment, and eternal hell. It was written so that you would believe, so that you would not suffer the consequences of your sin, which are death, judgment, and eternal hell. So what we find here in this gospel is 21 chapters of this immense treasure describing, demonstrating in every paragraph that Jesus is God in human flesh. He's God, he's a true God, and he's a true man. Fully God, fully man. Christ is the true Christ who must be believed in order for one to be saved. That's why, again, John 20, verses 30 and 31 say, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Let me remind everybody, what is? There is an unpardonable sin. What is it? It is unbelief. Unbelief, that is it. That is the unpardonable sin. If you don't believe, you don't get in. If you commit murder, can you still get in? Yes. If you marry Don Teodoro, can you still get in?
He's not even here to
defend himself. I know, he's not, so. He's serving. You must believe. That's why, remember he said, I did a few weeks ago, of John chapter 6, you must come to Jesus, he said. You must behold him, study him, and then you must believe. Come, behold, believe. And if you believe in two things, that he is fully God, and then you believe in his sacrificial death. You do those things, you're good. I want you to also write this down when we're studying John. Think sevens.
Think
sevens.
Think sevens.
Sevens. What do I say that? You want to take a guess?
Sevens in there. It's symbolic, no times in that book.
It's divided into sevens. There are seven miracles. There are seven I am statements. Think about them. We could probably get them all. We get them all, but three of them. I am the way. I am the truth, I am the life, I am the what? The bread of life, I am the good shepherd. I am the light. And it's broken down in seven, so that'll help you understand it. Okay? Any questions so far? This is more of an introduction. As we break this down. Yeah, we'll go pretty deep here. We'll see how far we get today. But the first chapter will take a little time because it is unique before we get into the actual story that John specifically chooses for us to study. So, get your Bibles out. Turn to John chapter 1. Maybe we can get through the first five verses in our remaining time. As always, if you have any questions, just raise your hand. Right, I'll ask you questions. This is not me talking all the time. I don't want that. I want us discussing. Okay? Remember, there is no stupid question. Just stupid people. Okay? All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Would that, those first four verses, excuse me, the first five verses, excuse me, make any sense to a new believer?
No.
It would be hard.
When you unpack it, there's deep theological truths here, and it's a treasure for us. But it doesn't make any sense. So we're going to break this down phrase by phrase. In the beginning. Okay? Is there three words that are any more loaded theologically than those words, in the beginning? Okay? Now, in regards to Jesus Christ, what are those three words, what do you think they're referring to?
In the beginning.
The beginning of all creation and time.
Right? What else? But in regards to Jesus Christ?
He always was.
There we go. We call it his pre-existence. Because again, what is the purpose of this book?
To prove he's human.
He's been written in order that you may believe. And so you have to believe in what? That he is come, behold, believe. Believe what? He's God and in his sacrificial death. So that's what we call the pre-existence of Christ. So, in the beginning, he says, was the Word. So now, the Word was already existing. That is to say, the Word, who is none other than who?
Jesus.
The Son of God, right, Jesus Christ. He was already in existence when God created everything that exists. Now, if you're not part of the creation, meaning you're not part of time and space, if you're not part of time and space, then you're what?
The creator.
You're eternal. Okay? You're eternal. You exist outside of time and space and even matter. He existed, Jesus Christ existed, before the beginning of everything that exists. In other words, he was already existing. The phrase, that's the imperfect tense of the to be verb, the verb emi. So the imperfect tense means continuously. He was continuously existing already when the beginning began. Does that make sense? He didn't begin with the beginning. He's an already existing being. Now let's go back now. Go to your Bibles to Genesis 1:1. I know it's hard to find. Okay.
Let's talk a little slower for me.
Okay.
Mark, he said?
Genesis.
Genesis.
Genesis 1:1.
One.
You might be able to quote it.
You want to go out on a limb and quote Genesis 1:1? And so now, who is that referring to? God and
Jesus.
And the Spirit. Okay. I'm not going to get into who did what, but they all were present and all active in creation. But what we'll learn, God created through His Son. He was the agent of creation, but anyways, we'll get there. In the beginning, what was created now? I'm going to take you back a little bit to what we discussed about a year. What a year ago?
Everything.
Time, space, and matter.
Thank you. We're going to break it down phrase by phrase. In the beginning, what's that a reference to?
The beginning of time.
Time. God is the source created. That's the force, the energy. What did He create? In the beginning, God created heavens, which is what?
Space.
Space, and earth, which is what?
Matter.
Matter. The Bible was never separated from science.
Amen.
Okay? Now, say it before I say it again. They're not nature's laws. They're God's laws. Okay? So, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. Let's assume the Father spoke through the Son, and they created what? In the very first phrase. Time, space, and matter. And we know how it was created. Through the spoken word of God. Take a moment and let that sink in, because this is what John is asking his audience to believe. Some who would read this may have actually seen Jesus physically. Certainly John did, and there are others who are alive that did. They knew, they heard of Him. Okay? And people talked about Him. And there were some that had no knowledge of Him whatsoever, but He was so popular. And what is John asking in the very beginning of his gospel for you to believe? Not only the God, but what?
The Creator.
The Creator. A man that they saw was the God in the Creator. Don't just let that go in and out. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? How hard would that be for you to grasp if you were in their shoes? Would you believe that? Let's say that Lloyd is God and He's the Creator and everything. Would you believe in Lloyd? You know Lloyd. You've seen him. Would you believe in him? I mean, wouldn't it be hard?
It'd be
hard for Lloyd to believe in Lloyd.
But that's the point I'm trying to make, is that this was a man. He was fully God, fully man. And He's asking in the very beginning, they knew, His audience particularly knew what He was talking to. This is Genesis. This is everything. Okay? That he eternally existed outside of everything. He created everything, time, space, and matter. Okay? And that's his pre-existence. When Moses, like for example, wanted to know the name of God, what did God say to him? My name is what? I am that I am. In other words, my name is the verb to be. Or my name is eternal being. That's what he's saying there. And repeatedly in the Gospel of John, Jesus uses what phrase? Two words. I am. I am. I am. How many times did he use that phrase that we know? I wish I shared this with you.
Seven
times. I am. That I am is a I am. I've always eternally pre-existed. That's the verb to be. He's always been. He only speaks of himself in the present continuous tense. And he can only speak of himself in the present continuous tense because there never was a time that he never didn't exist, because he's always existed. That's who we're worshiping. Okay? That's who was on the cross. That was the one meant to eat like us. Who got righteous anger. Who was that pillar of fire at night, the cloud by day. All of that. Now it's reinforced his deity in verse 2. Watch this out. He was what? In the beginning with God. By the way, what did he create? What's the easy answer? Everything. In the first day, what did he create?
Space and matter.
Okay. Then the second day, what did he create? He separated light from darkness. I think he did the first and second day. I didn't look this up. Right? By the power of his word. The earth was formless and void, and it was in water. And then remember when he separated water, what did he do? It's as if he's here, and he takes the water, and he does this. And there's the earth, the matter, and it formed into the land. And in that rock and mud and dirt and all that stuff, there are underground reservoirs of water, right? He then took water and it went up. And it looks like he did it like this. And he like a knife, he made a circle and cut it. And that was the waters above. Okay? He created at his word vegetation. And what kind of vegetation did he create? All kinds, but what was so unique about this kind?
It had seeds in it.
It was fully matured.
Oh,
yeah. Remember that? It had seeds. It was ready to go. Okay. Same thing with the mountains and then the stars. He spoke and created three heavens. What's the first heaven? We look up, we can see it. What's the second heaven? Deep space, the stars, all that, you know, stuff. We look up and see the closest heaven, the first heaven, the second. And then there's the third heaven. What's that? What's the third heaven? Yes, it's his abode. That's where we go, I believe, when we die. Spirits go there. Okay? And it's a temporary place because why? Where is our real home?
New heaven and new earth.
New heaven and new earth. Okay, we'll come back with him. All right? And how did he create that stuff?
With
space.
Word.
Spoke. All the galaxies and stars and everything. Create all the animals, the fishes, the birds, the mammals. And of course, the apex of his creation is, of course, man. Okay? Made in his image. Who did that?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is the creator.
All three did.
Yes, they're all one. They were always one.
Yeah, we don't really think that God the Father was the creator, but he through the agency of the Son, so it, technically they both are. The Spirit was there as well. But the point being is that what John is asking you to believe is that this man, Jesus, is the very Son of God. He's eternally pre-existed. Now, it says he was in the beginning with God, but he uses the word, in the beginning was the word. What does that word in the Greek mean? You don't want to take a guess? You know what it is.
Logos.
Logos. He said the word because, let me just so you know this, it was such a perfect term to use to identify Christ from a supernatural perspective. At the time, there was a philosophical understanding of the word that the Greeks understood as the reality that was visible in creation. They believed in a logos spirit, a non-personal power source or principle of order and structure, because they understood that you couldn't have the creation in which they lived without having some source for it. It's the same thing that we do it today. Either there is a God behind all this, or you have to be a person of great faith to believe that all this happened by chance. Okay? But they believed it was non-personal. Now, when John comes along and says, let me introduce you to the fact that the Logos is not an impersonal force, but a person. Logos is a personal God who came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. So he's not just a concept, he's a person. So we have the eternal God, his pre-existence, but he's also personal. You can know him. You can sense him. You can feel him. You can't see him right now. But he's there.
Amen.
Nobody, no other religion offers that. Okay? It's unique to Christianity. It says the Word was with God. Again, that's repeated in verse 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. Emphasis to make sure we don't miss the point. When the beginning began, again, he already existed. But listen to this. He not only exists as the eternal God, but he exists eternally with God. This tells us that not only is he the eternal God, but he's also distinct from the eternal God. Okay? He was with God. So listen to this. You could write this verse down. The reference is Proverbs 8, 27 through 31. This is probably a reference to creation and the work of the Son.
Proverbs
8, 27 through 31. It says this, when he, capital H, he established the heavens, I was there. Was Solomon there?
No.
So who's he referring to?
Jesus.
When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. Remember I said he cut out the waters and separated them? When he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep came fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him. Capital H. As a master workman, and I, meaning the Son, was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. A New Testament take on that is Hebrews 1:1-3. Or 1-2. Hebrews 1:1-2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, now watch this, through whom also he made the world. So the Father, through the Son, made what? Everything. Okay. So God is the creator, but the agent of creation that he uses is the Son. And the Son, Jesus Christ, in what we looked at so far, is called what? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, and it's the word Logos, and it's that personal force, you want to call it.
In in Revelation 13, 19, it says, his robe is dipped in blood and his name is called Word of God.
Right. Exactly. Now, let's talk about his coexistence. It says, and the Word was God. That's his coexistence. This is a powerful expression, guys. The Word was God. It's four words, theos and ho logos. Literally in the Greek means God was the Word. That's how it reads. God was the Word. So he is, coexists, the Son coexists as God. So he, there's pre-existence, we have his coexistence. And now let's look at verse 3. This is his self-existence. Okay? His self-existence. All things came into being through him. That sounds familiar, right? Hebrews 1, 2. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's a reference to verses 3 and 4, Jesus Christ's self-existence. God made all things through him. Everything that exists came into being through who?
Jesus,
the man. Okay? And now let me shift gears for a brief moment here. What do you think, as the all-powerful, eternal God that exists, God the Son, that everything that came to be in his creation came through him, and it is in rebellion against him? Everything that has come into existence came into being through Jesus Christ. But everything is in rebellion against him. What do you think about that?
I think without God's Spirit in us, it reveals us. Yeah, we are in rebellion.
You mean what would we think of it from his perspective? Is that what you're asking?
I'm just asking what your thoughts are. It would be the equivalent of I built a car. And I don't use it, and I can't use it, and it's being used for purposes for which I never intended it to be used.
That's the ugly, the impact of sin, is how ugly sin is and what it did. How much sin altered that purpose.
But he created us with eternity in our hearts and a longing for him. There is that constant revelation that he exists. He put it in the heavens.
The first thing that popped in my head was that creation bears witness of him. Creation testifies of him. He said the rocks will cry out to you. So I think there's still, the first thing that popped in my head is there's an element in creation that's not rebelling against him, even though it is feeling the effects of sin,
right,
or time.
It's decaying. It will eventually be what?
Yeah.
It destroys.
Destroyed. So I think it grieves him because it was what? In the beginning, it was all made was what?
It was good.
Good. Yeah. It was good.
So you built the car and it was used for something that you didn't want it used for. But you want to just destroy the car.
Right.
Just get rid of it.
Start over.
Or you could figure out a way
to save
the car and recreate it into what you had intended it for in the first place.
So we get a little insight at the very beginning of when you ask these types of questions, of the nature of God. Okay.
There's also ownership. He is the creator.
Yeah.
He owns everything. It does not own itself.
I'm going to ask you to speak louder and turn around when you speak, guys, because even if the fan was gone back there, I can barely hear you. They're not going to hear you.
It's echoing this room.
So.
The room's very echoing.
Is it?
Yeah. And Pastor, you know what I would love?
A beer?
No.
No?
You know what I'd love? I would love for you to come closer to us.
Yeah.
and take your books off your, because really it does muffle your
sound. Okay, well, I got sound coming through there, but I can definitely come forward.
That would be nice.
Okay. We'll do it start next week.
Okay. Thank you.
So Lloyd said,
I said that, because he created it, he's basically an owner. He owns it.
Yes.
And that creation itself does not own itself, has no right to ownership, only God. For him to do with as he pleases.
Yes.
That's all I would say.
Everything that exists, he made, it all came from him.
And it was for him.
And he didn't come from anything or anyone. Everything came from him. 1 Corinthians 8:6, I'm going to write that down. 1 Corinthians 8:6, there is but one God the Father, from whom are all things, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. Okay?
Do you know what he said in the beginning, when he created everything, he called it good.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Yeah. So God is the creator at the end. God does all his creating through the Word, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, don't deny God as the creator, or deny the role the Holy Spirit plays in bringing order to the creation. They're all involved. We just don't really know the depths of it. But it says that the Son of God is the agent by which the creating is done. Now it says this. This is what I think is most interesting. We're running out of time here. In him was life. This is so misunderstood. What does that mean? That in him was life.
He is the source of life.
He is.
Eternity is eternal life.
He's the author of life.
He didn't get life from anybody. Nobody gave him life. Life comes from him, because in him was life. He's always been alive. He's the source of life. And by the way, the word used is not the word bios, which we get the word what?
Biology,
which refers to what? Physical life, or biological life, which is a form of life. The word is Zoe, which has to do with spiritual life. When a little baby comes into the world, the baby has what kind of life?
Physical life.
Bios life, okay? It's a function of the human body, but there's another kind of life existing in that little baby that can't be quantified. It can't be found, and it can't be located. It's not tied to DNA, but it is a source of life. A body can exist apart from the spirit only on machines. Okay? And that needs to be a great source of hope for you if you have a loved one that, or maybe a parent that has died or has died. Just reminding that when my parents died, that was just simply a cocoon, that physical aspect of it. The real them. I mean, even you can get to a point where you are sleeping and you're conscious, but you can't move, you can't talk, and you're still alive in there.
Yeah.
You know? So Jesus has the power in him for all kinds of life. Bios, life, and Zoe life. In him is biological life and spiritual life. And that's why he can create the physical world, which will die. Which he creates the eternal beings, your spirit, which will never die. So in him was life. And so when you're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, you're looking at the one who is himself life. That is why it says, he says, again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So when you believe in Jesus Christ, what happened to you at that moment?
You get spiritual life.
You get his life.
You get his life. What life do you get? Not just spiritual life. Eternal spiritual life. You have a spirit in you, okay? You have the bios life, the physical life. You have the spirit life, or else God breathes the spirit into Adam, okay? His breath in him. But when you believe in him, you gain eternal life. So in a sense, there's three forms of life within Christ. Bios life, that Zoe life, and of course then the eternal life.
How do you spell Zoe?
Z-O-E. Okay? And what I'm saying is that we cannot and should not, and we need to begin to only look at Christ this way. We can't look at him any other way. He is life. He is the fundamental reality of all that exists. And we can go even further. It says, again, 1 Corinthians 8:6, we exist through him. Colossians talks about it. In him all things hold together. We now know scientifically that we're held together by a protein. It's an adhesive. Remember what it's called? Laminum. And if you break it down and look at it under a microscope, it's in the shape of a cross.
Yes.
Okay? That's the adhesive, the glue that holds it together. If that wasn't there, we wouldn't be held together. But the reality is found in Jesus Christ. He is holding all things together in him. And you can do that because in him is life. Right? That's why they wrote, it's in him that we what? Live and move and have our being. Exactly. We have our existence. All that exists, exists because we have life from him. So in him was life. He is the Jesus who is fully God, fully man, and is the means by which everything that exists, exists. And not only is he the means that came into existence, but Hebrews 1 says, verse 3, and he is the radiance of his glory in the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. So he not only gave life, he sustains life. He not only created, but he sustains the creation because in him was life. And when you begin to grasp that, this is the last thing we'll say because we're out of time here, sort of 20 after. How foolish is us to worry then?
How
foolish is us to live in unbelief? The fact that you're able to stay together is because of him. The fact that you're able to wake up this morning is because of him. The fact that the sun rose, that the rain is falling, that the table that you're using to hold everything, the chair you're sitting on, is acting according to the properties by which God intended them. All of that is because of him. It's held together through him. And so we forget these things, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And we've only got through, what, 4 verses? When you take a moment and
and carried through the rest of the day.
And again, I want to remind you that that's just who he is. And a new believer isn't going to understand this stuff. But John is asking us and is asking his audience to believe these things from the very beginning about Jesus. Okay? And what we do when we share the gospel with people is we kind of gloss over this. Right, because we believe he's God and he's the only way to God. And if you want to get past that because it's controversial, go into the good part of the benefits of believing in him and eternal life and all that and so on. But you know, Jesus made it very clear. Study me, come to me, study me. But you have to believe this. To accept you to believe that I am God, fully God, and believe in my sacrificial death on the cross. You do that, you get eternity.
Amen. All who believe.
Very good. Ron, we're going to close us in prayer real quick.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for being our God, our loving Creator God. We thank you for these words from John, who knew Jesus almost better than anyone else. And he knew who Jesus was. And he's relaying this to us through this book. And through this book, we can come to understand the best we can who Jesus was. That he was totally God and totally man at one time. The creator of all things. Nothing was created that he didn't create. And that he is the eternal God come in the flesh. And that's what I believe God wants us to get from the book of John. thank you for this time studying this book, that we may all believe, that we may all have faith and trust in God completely because He is sovereign. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.